This is a turkey. A lot of you had this to eat on Thursday. And somebody recently asked me, hey, was it around Thanksgiving when the turkey came through your window? No, it was July 2015. On a Sunday morning, I was sitting at my kitchen table. Generally, I sat in front of our big bay window. And I was sitting there at the table going over my notes for Sunday. Our friends were visiting from Pennsylvania. Many of you have heard the story. And I was sitting there at the dining room table, and then all of a sudden, it sounded like a bomb exploded in our house. And the whole house shook, and I had no idea what was going on. I started internally freaking out. And then I looked over to realize that a huge turkey had come right through our bay window, right through both double pane glass, shattered them both, and landed, bounced off our couch and landed on my living room floor. And I was in shock. And I didn't know how to respond. So out of my mouth comes, "Somebody help me!" And our friends that were visiting from Pennsylvania, my friend Rich came running up with his dog, which was problematic. Quickly got the dog downstairs, and we navigated through trying to figure out what we were going to do with this bird that wasn't quite dead. Eventually, we scooped it up with a shovel, brought it outside, and cleaned up the entire mess. And as I was thinking about the story, I realized there are so many different views of this story, and I'm the only one that saw it happen. I sat there on that Sunday morning and felt the house shake and saw the aftermath. My friend Rich, who had just been outside to take his dog out, came back in, came up to see the aftermath and my shock. My family came downstairs after I had scooped it up and brought it outside, so they didn't have the traumatic experience of seeing this thing in the living room. But each one of us has different experiences of that same story, and we'll be telling it for years to come. As we look through this Advent season, we decided we wanted to focus on Christmas through different lenses, different insights, all different types of people who had experienced this same story from just different points and perspectives. So our series this Christmas is Christmas Insight. It's kind of a play on words. We want insight and we want insight. We want Christmas to be at our forefront and be in our view. And we also want to look at different people's insight into what took place at the birth of Christ. And so we're going to be looking at Gabriel's story first. Well, we're going this way. Gabriel's story first. And we haven't really looked at this story in a long while from Gabriel's point of view. And so we wanted to bring that back up during this season. Gabriel, if you don't know, is an angel. He's first mentioned in Daniel chapter 9. He helped Daniel interpret the visions that Daniel was having that were given to him by God. He helped foretell of the Anointed One, the Messiah, who would be Jesus. It was over 500 years later when we see him again in Luke chapter 1. So if you have a Bible or you just want to listen along as we read, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read first 11 to 20. Luke 1, 11 to 20. And this is what it says. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come at their appointed time." So let's just look at the first aspect of this story, Gabriel's story. So think about it from his point of view, and this may be difficult for us, but he is an angel. Angels have different tasks in Scripture. I don't know if you've spent a whole lot of time on it. They have different tasks in Scripture. Oftentimes they're fighting or waging war on God's behalf. They stand and they worship God, or they sing and they worship God before the throne. And then oftentimes they are used as messengers, which is what the word angel means in Greek. And every single time Gabriel shows up, one of the first things he has to say as people see him is, "Do not be afraid." Now, there's clearly something about his appearance that distinguishes him different than that of human beings. There's been several interpretations of this. Maybe he glowed, maybe he, you know, this, that, and the other thing. There's some clear distinction on his presence that causes people to go to a place of fear or shock or terror. And more often than not, they fall on their face before Gabriel. So just envision your role a majority of the time is standing in the presence of God before his throne, soaking in his glory on a regular basis and worshiping him. And then you're sent to share good news. And this good news had been waited for so long. The Israelites were given a pattern to help them deal with the sin that separates them from the Father. But now God was sending Gabriel as a messenger that old way of doing it on your own accord was coming to an end. God was going to take care of it once and for all. And Gabriel got the opportunity to be the one who brought that message to humanity. Just think about that. And as he shared this amazing information with Zechariah, that his son John would be the one who would tell everybody else who Jesus was, really. He's old. He's been praying for a son for most of his life, more than likely. And finally, this messenger is telling him something that is just really too good to be true, maybe in his mind. And if you're Gabriel and you've just had this experience where you've presented this information and there's clearly some kind of shock and terror on Zechariah's face that causes terror and pain and fear, so much so that Gabriel has to once again, like I always say, do not be afraid. And then hear the doubt in Zechariah's question. Did you not just hear what I just said? Did you just fell in and were in terror? Now I'm telling you that the prayer that you've been asking for is going to be answered. But his response really goes to a place of doubt. And so Gabriel is given the authority and the power to cause Zechariah to not be able to speak until his son is born. This is a ridiculous story if we sit and we think about it and we let it settle in to our souls during this season. Have you ever not been trusted or believed before? Most of us can't make it very long in life without coming to a place where somebody doesn't trust you or believe the words that are coming out of your mouth. I came across this story this week of Werner Froesmann. It was 1920, and the only known way of getting to a human heart was to have a traumatic cutting open of the chest and getting to the heart to try to deal with it. Werner had heard about a veterinarian who had figured out how to make their way up through the arteries and veins to get to the heart and thought, this has got to be possible in human beings. And he believed that he had a way to do it. And so he told the people above him, this is what I would like to do. And they said, absolutely not. There's no way in the world we're going to give you the authority to do this. We felt this could most likely save a bunch of people's lives. We need to give this a try. But nobody would listen to him. A nurse overheard him and said, hey, let's give it a try. They're willing to put both of their lives in jeopardy for the attempt at accomplishing this. Werner didn't feel comfortable operating on this woman, so he convinced her that she was going to do it, but then ultimately began to run the line up his own vein to his heart. When the nurse realized that it wasn't happening on her, she quickly shifted gears. They got an x-ray machine to come in as they navigated this thing to his heart. 17 years later, he would win a Nobel Prize for cardiac catheterization, and millions of people have been affected and saved because of him. This story that Gabriel got to present to Zechariah, the message that Zechariah was unwilling to accept at first glance, ultimately would affect his life and his child's life and the entire world. But that's not the only person that Gabriel got to speak to during this time. Open up, flip over to verse 26. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be conceived and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. So Gabriel goes from this one experience where he is not believed at first value, and then he comes to this young girl, most likely a teen. And we'll talk more about her next week, but look at it from Gabriel's point of view. First, he gets to give this amazing news. "You are highly favored. don't be afraid. Once again, her posture is, what in the world is going on? Am I in trouble? What kind of message is this going to be? And it's this message is really, really good news. You will give birth to a son, Jesus, and he will be the Most High. And then notice that the question that she says to him is different than the question that Zechariah asks. Zechariah asks, how can I be sure of this? Mary says, explain this to me. And as he explains it, he says these very important words, for no word from God will ever fail. What I am telling you is going to happen. What I'm telling you is going to be truth. What I'm telling you is going to change the entire world, and it gets to start with your offspring. And then her response is very different than Zechariah's. Her response is, may your word be fulfilled. Gabriel has the opportunity to change, to be the voice of how the world is changing. He stood in the presence of God. He got to voice God's presence and God's desire and God's plan with humanity. And then more than likely, he got to go back and stand in the presence of God and soak that in again. As I was retelling this story, thinking about this story all over again of the turkey, one of the things that I did do after it happened, before anybody came down, was I took a picture for proof. Of this turkey that made its way into our living room. And then we put every year in our house, we do a family photo album for the whole year. And so this turkey lives in infamy in our 2015 family photo album. We'll be able to pass it on and share it for generations to come. Except this turkey's not going to affect anybody's life. It's a really good story. It's fun and crazy and weird, but it's not going to affect or change the outcome of anything. I look at that window. The window is patched. It's all brand new. The glass is gone. Gabriel's story will last for all eternity. It's written down in the Word of God, and it will affect millions and millions of lives. And we have a choice during this season to allow his story to affect ours, to allow his story to change our focus and our view. 2020 has been difficult and hard, and there's been a lot of distractions and discouragements, and maybe some questions of trust in the God that we serve. So let his words be words of hope for us during this season. And I have these questions to ask us. How has your hope been hindered during this year? Maybe let's do an inventory as we start into this Advent season. How has your hope been hindered during this year? What do we need to let go of? What do we need to let go of so that hope can have the attention that it deserves during this Advent season? Because I really believe Gabriel's story gives us hope, not just for then, for Zechariah and Mary, but for you and me today in 2020. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the words written down in Luke. We thank you for your messenger, Gabriel, who was able to come and share this amazing news. Lord, as we reflect on this year that we've come through, there has been a ton of distractions. Several of us have felt like the windows of our soul have been crashed in by things that we didn't want there. Lord, I pray that as you pick up the pieces of broken glass that have fallen in our lives, as you begin to remove the distractions, the frustrations, the things that have hindered us from hope in you, I ask that you would draw our attention back to the reason for this season. Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God incarnate. May all the other things fall away as you woo us into your presence. I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's respond in worship.